The subject assigned to me today is, does the church need a 21st century Protestant Reformation? And the text of our message is only one verse. Let us turn to the Epistle of Jude, just before Revelation, the third verse. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Evidently, Jude here is moved by the Holy Spirit to enter into a subject that he was not thinking of, to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Today we make becoming here, as we say, expecting a message to feed our souls. But the Lord says, you need some exercise, that you stand up to defend the faith, to contend even for the faith. Our glorious salvation, the doctrine of our salvation, is being eroded, and you should stand up to contend, to fight for your faith, for your salvation. That is the meaning of this verse. Now it is the custom of all our BP churches, and there are over 60 of them in Singapore, congregations, and 20 in Malaysia, that we remember the 16th century Reformation, 16th century Protestant Reformation. And usually we observe it on the Sunday that is nearest to that day, which is October the 31st, 1517. That was a date that church historians have named to be the beginning of the 16th century Reformation. The event that brought into the Reformation was the event of Martin Luther. I hope you know him. Nailing 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg, Germany. These 95 theses are 95 statements, one by one, refuting a terrible wrong in the Roman Catholic Church. That is a practice of selling indulgences. In Chinese, we call them forgiveness tickets. That the Pope can forgive your sins, what a blasphemy. Only God can forgive our sins. And then that there is also a purgatory. It is a first hell with fires burning to torment and also to cleanse our souls. But if you buy the forgiveness tickets, the indulgences, then the years or the days wherein your father or mother is now suffering in purgatory may be reduced, may be cut short. At this time, 1517, the Pope, who lives in his palatial house in the Vatican, with St. Peter's Church that is 400 feet high, tallest church in the world. And he wanted to beautify the city and the church, so he needed a lot of money. So he held a cheap sale of these indulgences and forgiveness tickets. Can you imagine that? And the people believed. And the Pope had a representative whose name is called Petzl. He composed a very cunning couplet to promote his sales. And he says, as soon as your coin into the coffer clinks, cling, like that, out of the fires of purgatory, the soul springs. As quick as that, and then he can go to heaven. Such a myth. Well, I think this is perhaps the first time some of you will hear about what I've said. That is a pity. Today there is no difference between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. Some years ago, an old lady came here and we spoke of Reformation Sunday. And after the church, she said to me, "Oh, you should not be unkind. No? We are all one. Protestants and Christians and Roman Catholics are together." But it is a thrilling story. You must read of God's grace, of God's releasing us from the clutches of Rome, that you will be further cultivated by reading this very well prepared pamphlet is given to you this morning, that you seriously will sit down and spend 15 minutes to read the story, which is written by Reverend Charles Seed in a very clear manner. And after reading it, you realize how important the Reformation is. Philip Sharp, a famous church historian, says, with the 16th century Reformation, a great revolution and overturning the church took place, which was the greatest revival that came to the church, universal, the whole of Europe, where the gospel was first planted. The greatest revival that ever happened since the days of the apostles. Thus states the famous church historian. And I pray that after reading this, you have a better understanding of church history and why we are today a BP church. It's all linked together. Alas, but history repeats itself. We were redeemed from all the superstitions of Rome, such as Mary worship, buying indulgences that you may pay for your parent to get out from the fires of purgatory, which is all a cheating business. Many years ago, there were many little shops open, and they were selling cheap fun, and pay high interest. So the people all got gypped. They want to earn the high interest. But they were collecting your money to send to India. It was a cheating business. So cheat fund becomes cheat fund. Cheating. And this is a cheating business. in the Roman Catholic Church. Well, whether they like it or not, this is history. They cannot deny it. But alas, history repeats itself. After 400 years, the Protestant Church sank even lower than the Roman Catholic Church, with all their intellectualism. They come to the point of not believing anything in the Bible, anything that is miraculous, that the Lord has done, the miracles of, they don't believe at all. And instead of that, there was a great battle fought in the 1920s and 30s. They now develop a new movement called the Ecumenical Movement. By now, I think you know what's the meaning of ecumenical. 30 years ago, you did not know. Ecumenical means all under one roof. The sense of universalism. All the churches now are being rallied by the modern churchmen, high churchmen, theologians, bishops, that we should all not discuss any difference between denominations, whether you are fundamental or new evangelical or modern. Let us all join together to return to Rome. We came out of Rome, now they want to go back. And they wanted to form what is known as a World Council of Churches to gather this ecumenical movement together. And they wanted to form the World Council of Churches in Amsterdam in 1948. It was this very year that I arrived in America to study at Faith Theological Seminary. No sooner had I arrived and settled in to study than one morning to the seminary chapel came a tall, distinguished gentleman. Distinguished looking gentleman. In his early 40s, in the prime of his life, and he preached to us a topic out of the blue, the need of a 20th century reformation. And why this need? Because of the World Council and the modernist high churchmen going to form this council in the name of the ecumenical movement in 1948. Dr. McIntyre is the name of that distinguished gentleman who was pastor of the Bible Presbyterian Church in a southern town in USA, and the very president of the board of directors of Faith Seminary. And he spoke very impassionately for nearly an hour. And as he spoke about the danger of the ecumenical movement and the World Council of Churches, he proposed to form a counter-movement, the 20th century Reformation. And it would be the coming together of all fundamental churches who want to uphold the 16th century Reformation of Martin Luther. To withstand the World Council, that we may not be roped in, but that we may be separated, that we may maintain the faith. Hence, the forming of a counter church council called the International Council of Christian Churches. The World Council has no Christian, World Council of Churches, because they aspire to include even human religions. You really won't believe it, But Dr. McIntyre's prophecy was true. Later on, there are five religions sitting in the World Council opening meeting. And as he spoke of the urgency to fight the apostasy, the turning back away from Protestantism back to Rome, my heart was touched, was gripped. And I said in myself, it's really a wonderful experience. When I got born again, my heart was strangely warm at the age of 15. Now I'm 26 in America. Another call from the Lord. You must take a stand with Dr. McIntyre. And my heart truly was knit to his heart, as it is said, Jonathan's soul was knit with the soul of David when he saw what great things David had done for the Lord. And truly God has raised him up. And from that day, I worked with all my heart and strength for the movement of the International Council of Christian Churches, the 20th century Reformation movement. So after my study, I came back to Singapore. I got hold of my friend, Reverend Kwek Hiok Chiang, who is of Faith BP Church pastor, and another brother, Deacon C.T. Su, who later on was ordained. And we three became known as the Three Musketeers. Well, Three Musketeers, though, were nobody. But the pen is mightier than the sword. We published a magazine quarterly in English and Chinese. And we exposed the church leaders here. You must know that in those days we were still a colonial church. We were not managing our affairs like this as today. Our pastors were paid by the missionaries. And my grandfather was a pastor, and his salary was $30 a month. That's why I didn't want to be a pastor in the beginning. I said to my mother, see, Grandpa's salary is so small, and you want me to serve the Lord full time. And when we expose them with name and denial who and who, one Dr. Fleming denied the virgin birth, one Dr. Gibson wrote the book that there is no hell, one Dr. Hollister said that Christ, if he did not come, our sins are still forgiven. Such denials. And when they got exposed, the Bishop of Singapore, Anglican Bishop, Bishop Baines, retaliated with a Straits Times report, which says, Bishop hits out that extremists, they call us extremists, that they should believe the Bible, every word, literal. That's, of course, our stand. And I thank the Straits Times for describing us as a back to the Bible movement. And we labored on, we had to separate from the old denomination that was controlled by the missionaries, and by 1955, we became the Life Bible Presbyterian Church. This was the mother church. And by the grace of God, because we are now clean from the entangling alliances with the old denomination and modernism, the Lord has blessed us today that we should have over 60 congregations BP in Singapore. And in Malaysia, there are 20 BP churches and stations. But I must tell you something about Dr. McIntyre. Soon after the forming of the ICCC, International Council of Christian Churches, 1948 in Amsterdam. He had a preemptive action, and he went down throughout South America and got all the Bible-believing churches joined together in an alliance of Bible Presbyterian churches. So I thank God I went 2 times to South America for our movement, and the latest one was 1997 in Santiago, and to see how vigorous those Bible-believing churches are. Well, Dr. McIntyre did not receive much reaction from Europe. That is a dead church. He received great response throughout Asia, India, Pakistan, Singapore, Korea, and in Africa. Many churches in Africa joined our 20th century Reformation movement in South America. When Dr. McIntyre has served for 54 years as our president and revived many churches, as far as Singapore is concerned, we went to Indonesia and to Burma. And these are churches that are revived, and we support them. You can see the extent of his influence around the world. The Lord took him in March this year, and he can say, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course. And I thank God that in my life I traveled very much to all the 6 continents. As early as 1956, I had the privilege of going to Australia to witness against the World Council of Churches. So there was a great fight between the 2 councils, one for the faith of the 16th century, one to return to Rome. After these 50-odd years, the World Council of Churches has come to a dead end. I don't think they can call another meeting. They're heavily in debt. But they manage. Evangelicals and Catholics together, they come together to sign the statement that we are the same. Not only in 1994, they signed the statement, they reaffirmed it in 1997. But it is a make-believe. Whereas our doctrine of salvation is the just shall live by faith. If you believe with all your heart, you are born again, the Lord will save you to the uttermost. But the Roman Catholics say, no, you must believe and you must also work for salvation. And you must contribute so much, to your salvation. But all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, says Isaiah in 64, verse 6. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There is nothing good that we can present to the Lord. Spurgeon says, if my garment of salvation needs but one stitch from me, I'll be lost. Alright. So that is a closing chapter of the fight between the 2 movements. Dr. McIntyre's 20th century Reformation movement and the World Council of Churches ecumenical movement. So one battle having been finished, another battle comes. It is said that the monkey god can change himself 72 times. Now Satan transforms himself and brings the battle to the Bible. In fact, for 400 years, short of a few years till now, insofar as the English speaking world is concerned, the Lord gave us one Bible, the King James Bible, the authorized version. But in 1952, the first translation was published based on another text, the text of Westcott and Hort. They changed the previous text that was used, namely the received text, Textus Receptus, and changed many, many things inside, taking away 9,900 odd words, deleting them, changing their meaning, or absorb them in a translation that the original words have disappeared. And I was taught to receive Westcott and Hort and to believe in this new text and version. And so the seed was sown. 1952, Dr. McIntyre, seeing the danger of it, exposed the Revised Standard Version, the RSV, and in so doing, their sales were curtailed. But in the meantime, from 1952 to 2002, over 100 new Bibles have come out into the market, in a guise of being a modern Bible, modern language, easy to read. But I challenge you, the easier to read is a King James Bible. The words are so simple. A few obsolete nouns or words, the pastor can easily explain. That's all. But by changing to the new Bibles, the faith of the church has been greatly corrupted, and we also have been hoodwinked. We believe also in Westcott and Hort. Because I was brought up in seminary like that, until 1992, Dr. Waite from America, PhD, THD, double doctor's degree, very highly educated, discovered that Westcott and Hort are no angels but devils. How do we know? We will not go into the technicalities of knowledge, but will find out his character. Both of them are modernists, liberals, rejecting all the fundamentals of faith, the virgin birth of Christ, his blood atonement, his resurrection, his coming again, all are denied. And they made friends with Darwin, who is the father of evolutionism, and Freud. And so they say, Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man by eating the forbidden fruit is a myth. It's not true. While they also started in Cambridge University a club, Hermes Club, that turned into a homosexual club. And then they went into the study of ghosts. Fancy that. And so the club was known as the Bogey Club. Bogey means devil. The Bible says, who shall ascend the hill of God? Who shall come to his holy place? He that has clean hands and pure heart, and has not sworn deceitfully, nor have lifted up their heart to vanity. And so, through the NIV that is based on the Western Hort text, many people have been led astray because they have been reading many words that are not there. When I said this about 2 or 3 months ago in this church, someone anonymous got very angry, and he wrote a sort of a poisonous letter and challenged me, "Why don't you love your enemies? If you hate Western Hope for what they did," this is a misapplication. The fact is that Jesus is referring to one's private enemies. If you have something wrong with somebody and you become enemies, forgive him. It doesn't touch doctrine, it doesn't touch the truth. But here, this is a case like the anonymous hidden sniper. You have heard of it? Over 10 people have been killed. The police want him. The common people want him. He is a public enemy. And when he's discovered, "Oh, never mind, brother. We are Christians, we forgive you. You can go home." Is that right? He will be answering all the questions of justice. And I believe he will be executed. And we all say, "Yes, amen," because he is a public enemy. And Westman Hort has been sniping at the Word of God so many words. So my warning you about NIV and the many, many new Bibles are mostly founded on the Western Hope text. It's doing a great service to you. But I dare to preach to you this morning. Why? Because I have not spoken to the 8 a.m. service on this subject at all. But when I spoke 2 times in the 10:30 service, there was a groundswell and they come in. Almost forbid me. And say, "You don't say these things." But today the assignment is not from me, it's from the church to speak on the Reformation. So you cannot have it. You have to hear it from me. I thank God that I sincerely believe that the old good Bible, the King James Version, is a very trustworthy translation of the received text, the textus receptus, so that we can say, "In my hand I have the Word of God, very, very trustworthy." But I cannot trust the NIV with the so many words. In fact, in the RSV 1952, they translated virgin into young woman. They demoted the Virgin Mary into a young woman, and which young woman cannot conceive? But Jesus was born of the virgin. That's an example of how they attack the Bible. When I gave diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, the Holy Spirit moved me that I should exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That is why I'm speaking on this topic today. And I urge you too, having heard the message, that you should earnestly contend for the faith, to tell them why they should not use the NIV. This is not a matter of sales talk for one Bible against another. Nothing, but the new Bibles, over 100 versions have come out. It's all for money making. Everyone copyrights his Bible and they sell millions of copies so as to get plenty of money into the coffers. Let us also contend for the faith delivered once unto the saints together. In so doing, the Lord will bless you. In so doing, our church will be strong. And I thank God for many, many BB churches that take the stand for the King James Bible. May the Lord bless us into action. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for the Reformation of the 16th century and the memory of Martin Luther. May thou use the Sovereignty of God pamphlet to cultivate our members that they should know better of what is Romanism, and that we may stand strong for the faith until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.